Welcome to segment two of the TKO. Here on segment two, we're going to talk about UFC 126, preview the event. It's coming up February 5th. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the main fight there is Anderson Silva versus Vitor Belfort for the middleweight title.
Right.
You guys both know I'm not a big fan of this particular matchup. Mm-hmm. Brad, do you have any thoughts on it?
Here's the thing. Dana White and Joe Silva really wanted this fight for a while. It was scheduled to happen before Vitor Belfort got hurt. I don't remember exactly who came in to take over for him. But my thing is Dana White and Joe Silva always seem to put really good fights together.
They do,
so,
do that.
In that respect, since they really want this fight, that's what's kind of got me interested. As far as Vitor Belfort as a fighter, I haven't seen him fight. I know he fought back in the UFC in 2009. I missed that fight. So I really wasn't able to see how he looked. I mean, obviously, I know the old Vitor Belfort from, you know, the way old UFCs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in the respect of trusting Dana White and Joe Silva is really the only reason why I want to see this fight. Just the name in general, though, Vitor Belfort, not really doing a whole lot for me.
You know, and I think that, like you're talking about, Brad, Belfort's relevance is really what's in question. He's been mm-hmm. around for a long time. His most recent win was over Rich Franklin, mm-hmm. But that was back in UFC 103 back in September of 2009.
Yeah, you're talking like a year and a half
ago
almost.
Exactly. So, you know, he does have that win for him semi-recently, mm-hmm. but then he's got some notable losses, too. This is back 4 or 5 years ago. Back in 06, he lost to Dan Henderson. He lost to Alistair Overeem. He lost to Tito Ortiz in 05, and he did go 1-1 with Randy Couture back in 04. Mm-hmm. But we're talking, like, we're just, you know, we're kind of saying, I mean, his relevance really is in question.
Yeah, for me, this would have been a good fight, like, 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. I would definitely be behind this matchup. But for right now, I just feel like a guy who hasn't even been in the octagon for a year and a half.
Supposedly,
really
he has the fastest hands in MMA. He could be a boxer if he wanted to. I mean, I'm not acting like I want to do backflips for the fight, but I'm definitely interested to see what's going to happen. I think there could have been maybe a better, to be completely honest, another fight we're going to preview coming up here, the Bader Bones Jones. I would like to see that as the main event for this.
Oh,
I
yeah.
understand
yeah.
because Silva
it's a
has
fight.
A title.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why it's the main one.
And the main thing I'm excited about this fight is just to see Anderson Silva. Like, I want to see which Anderson Silva we see. You know, I mean, yeah. he's been an interesting fighter lately. He's been up, he's been down, he's been sort of all over the place. So mm-hmm. I'm interested to see which Anderson Silva we see,
yeah.
but I'm not really interested to see the fight per se.
Here's the thing. If Belfort's hands are as good as they're saying, I would love to see him come in and see how Silva responds to that, because you saw with Forrest Griffin when he was trying to box Silva. I mean, it was almost comical.
Yeah, didn't work. And Forrest Griffin is a pretty good striker,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, definitely. So if that's the case, if he's really as good a striker as they say, that might be kind of interesting to see, mm-hmm. you know.
You know what would be interesting is if Vitor Belfort won the title.
Because who's really next in that division?
I can't even. I mean, you'd have to go back to guys like Damian Maia or yeah. Nate Marquardt. I think that's where you'd have to go for your next title shot. I mean, yeah. There's really...
The stun gun?
The division's pretty well cleaned out. I mean, yeah. Silva's beat just about everybody there is there.
And it's funny, with some of the stacked divisions in UFC, that mm-hmm. tends to be one of the weaker ones,
yeah.
actually.
Yeah, it does.
So, yeah, I don't really know where you would go if Belfort was to win. I mean, I don't think Chael Sonnen's coming back anytime in the near future. I mean, once he stops money laundering, maybe.
Maybe.
But, yeah, I mean, so yeah, it's really interesting, I think, moving forward after this fight.
If Belfort wins, I'm looking forward to Belfort versus Lieben.
I'm mad at you. Can we move on?
Gatekeeper.
All right, the next fight on the fight card is Forrest Griffin versus Rich Franklin. Obviously, you know, Forrest Griffin. Rob, do you have some stats there on Forrest Griffin? He hasn't looked great lately, but...
Yeah, Forrest Griffin has been very up and down in the past 4 or 5 years, kind of along the same lines as Belfort, actually, where he's got some great wins. His most recent notable wins, anyway, he beat Tito Ortiz at UFC 106.
Always impressive.
He beat Rampage Jackson at UFC 86, and he beat Shogun Hua...
Extremely impressive.
...at mm-hmm. UFC 76. I think that
Byron
was...
a naked choke, which
yeah.
is
And
awesome.
I think that was Shogun's UFC debut,
yeah.
So we were that you got to give him some leeway there, but still, yeah. it's something to point out.
Yeah.
But he does have notable losses to Anderson Silva at UFC 101, Sugar Rashad Evans in UFC 92, and Keith Jardine, probably the most up and down fighter in all of UFC at UFC 66. So Forrest right now sits at a professional record of 17-6, kind of balanced in that he's got 3 wins by knockout, 7 by submission, and 9 by decision. So Forrest can end fights, but the majority of his fights right now are by decision.
Mm. Yeah, generally, Forrest gets to his peak when he gets punched in the face.
Yeah,
and that takes usually a good round, round and a half till he gets popped really good, and then all of a sudden he kicks it into high gear. And you know, he's not a finisher type of fighter, but he will beat you as far as points go.
But there's some of the fighters now in the UFC where you can't wait for that punch because
that one
might be the last one that you see. You know, because
but I don't think that's this fight against Rich Franklin.
No,
I don't see Rich Franklin as having that type of a threat right now anyway.
Yeah, he's more of a precision fighter. Yeah. Rich Franklin, he'll pick you apart, you know, and ground and pound you, but it's not, you know, he's not really known for the one big punch
well,
knockout.
Well, he used to. Rich Franklin used to have that knockout power.
Well, no, I'm not saying that he doesn't have the knockout power, but it would be the in combination with the other punches that he was throwing. You know, you would take 5 and the 5th one would knock you out, you know, instead of just that one.
Well, and I also think one of the things with Franklin too, he's been through some major injuries in his career. He's past the peak. His career is almost over, and I think
going up a weight class now too to 205. You know,
that's kind of I think that was originally kind of natural for Franklin when he first came in. I think he was at that weight class too.
Oh, okay,
With Franklin, he's definitely on the downside of his career, and I continue to see him. The few times I've seen him in the past couple of years, is he seems to always break his hand. We're not out there, but it seems to look like he'll throw a punch and then he starts to favor, which I couldn't even tell you which hand it was. But so I think that if Franklin can avoid the injuries and he definitely has the skills still. The skills are one of the last things to go, but his body might just fail him in this fight.
Here's what I see with Franklin, and it's hard to say because he's been such a great MMA fighter for so long, is that I think other people have caught up to him in a way, and that I think when he first started, he was one of the more well-rounded fighters in MMA. He could do everything, you know, as opposed to one person like Chuck Liddell that was really good at striking.
Some of the one-note guys.
Yeah, you know, everything else, you know, just kind of, you know, Rich Franklin was good at everything, you know, and I think that's the norm now. You have tons of fighters that are good at everything.
Yeah.
And that's why I think kind of he was a pioneer in a certain extent to he was one of the first fighters to really be able to do a lot of things. And that's why Randy Couture, I think, was so great and kind of is so great. He does everything well, you know, and those fighters, there's so many more of them now in every weight division. You know, every other fighter can do 3 things very well, you know, or 2 things very well, you know.
Yeah, you see how fast the sport progresses when you see a guy like Royce Gracie come back and fight, you know, when he fought Matt Hughes and was just, you know, Royce Gracie was the man in the UFC. I mean, he was the best fighter you had ever seen. And, you know, a guy like Matt Hughes, who was a great champion, don't get me wrong, but I mean, you know, was just completely outclassing Royce Gracie. I mean, you see how far the sport has come.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Rich Franklin is the latest victim of that, where the sport is just progressing beyond where he can right now.
Right, right.
So going around the table, who are you predicting to win this fight then?
Ooh. I'm going to pass. I'll come back. I want to hear what you guys say.
I'm going to go Griffin. I've been a little down on Griffin just because I think that I wasn't impressed with his performance with Silva. I mean, even given that Silva, I still think was a better fighter. I expect Forrest to do a little bit more, but I'm definitely going to go with Griffin. I just think, like we just talked about, the game has passed Rich Franklin by.
And I think I'm in the same boat. I think I'm going to go with Griffin as well. Again, hasn't looked great recently, but I think he's probably going to want to bounce back given the couple poor performances he's had. And again, Franklin, I do think the game has passed him by a little bit.
All righty. I'll go Griffin. I think he's had some injuries, which is why he hasn't fought a lot lately. Hopefully he's kind of back from those, healed up, and like we've been saying, the game kind of passed Franklin by, I think. So I think I'm going to go with Griffin on this one, even though it might be boring.
and I realize we didn't do this for the first fight. If you listen to the conversation, you probably know how we feel. But who are you picking in the Anderson Silva Vitor Belfort fight?
Silva.
I'm going Silva as well.
Yeah, I've got to go Silva. I mean, Belfort still has that puncher's chance, we're talking about, especially with the fastest hands in the division.
You can pull a little Matt Serra magic.
But, you know, I got to give it like a 90% chance that Silva wins.
Yeah, okay. So moving on to the next fight on the card. This is the one that I'm actually most excited to see, and
so
I think Brad's in the same boat with me here. Johnny Bones Jones up against Ryan Bader.
Yes.
Bones Jones is 11-1, should be 12-0.
That's crap.
And Bader is 13. 19-0. So you've got two, and I'm using air quotes here, undefeated fighters going up against each other. And these two fighters both have looked really good. Brad, how do you see this one going?
Woo! I don't even know. That's why I'm so excited about it. But I can't go against Bones Jones from what I've seen. That dude, to me, is the future of MMA. Like, Ryan Bader looks very good, but I can't pick anyone against Bones Jones. I really can't.
I've got to go with Brad. Huge Bones Jones fan. He's young. I think he has the longest wingspan in the whole UFC.
Yes.
If you guys back me up.
Yeah.
So he outreaches everyone. It does. You don't even have to guess. And he likes to throw those punches. He likes to throw those bows. I'm just a big, not to take anything from Bader, but I'm a big Bones Jones fan. I'm very excited to see him back and fighting again.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely a big believer in Bones Jones. I think he's probably going to win, but I can't take Bader lightly. You know, I mean, he's 13-0. He's a great wrestler. I think he could take down Bones Jones and lay on him for three rounds. I don't think he will be able to, but that could definitely happen. I can see this fight going either way.
Here's what I'm saying. I think Bones Jones is going to win, but if Bader wins, I'm not going to be surprised.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh,
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Like, you know, if Belfort wins, that's kind of going to be my reaction. But yeah, Bader, it's really like I said, it wouldn't surprise me. Bader is a good fighter. Really, I think what we're going to see from Bones Jones is how good is his wrestling? Because there's been a lot of talk about it. And Ryan Bader is one of the best wrestlers in that division.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to see how that goes.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, if Jones can keep it on his feet, it's going to be a knockout, a stellar knockout, I think. You're going to see some fists, some elbows, some knees.
Yeah.
You're going to see some limbs flying at Bader, and something is going to catch. It's going to be crazy. Our next fight down the card is going to be Jake Ellenberger versus Carlos Eduardo Rocha. Rocha, I haven't actually seen a lot of it. It's a welterweight battle. Rocha's 9-0. He's undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Ellenberger is 23-5. He's looked really good recently.
Yeah.
How do you see this going?
I'm actually going to take Ellenberger. He's actually surprised me a lot. He's coming as an underdog, and I think the last two fights that he had, and won in both of them. So he's got a lot of potential there. And I don't know a whole lot about Rocha, so by process of elimination, I think I'm going to go with Ellenberger. But yeah, Ellenberger has looked good in his past few performances that I've seen.
He definitely has. Honest Rob, you got something?
I think that Brad and I, you know, tractor beam, because same kind of thing. I mean, I've seen Ellenberger fight, haven't really seen much from Rocha. So in that way, I guess I just kind of have to go with Ellenberger just because I've seen him perform. And, you know, he's one of these up-and-comers, you know?
Okay, I'll be the black sheep. I'm going to go for Rocha. Like I said, I haven't seen a whole lot of them, but I do generally like to back the undefeated fighters.
Uh-huh.
They're undefeated for a reason.
Yeah, you got a good point.
They've done well.
Right.
So, you know, 9-0, I think he's probably a pretty decent fighter. Like you did say, Jake Ellenberger has looked good recently.
Mm.
So if he wins, it's like you were saying with the other fight. Like, I'm not going to be surprised if he takes it. But I think the undefeated streak is probably going to continue. I think the UFC likes undefeated fighters.
Yeah.
So I think they try to schedule their fights in a way that people can remain undefeated as long as possible.
Right.
So I think, you know, when they scheduled this fight, I think they probably figured that Rocha could take Ellenberger and get to 10-0 at least. So the last fight we're going to talk about, the last one that's guaranteed to be televised anyway, is going to be Miguel Torres versus Antonio Banuelos. It is a bantamweight fight, 135. Itty bitty guys.
We were talking about Miguel Angel Torres.
It's true. And he's 37-3, I think, in his professional career.
Yeah, Rob, do you have some stats on Miguel Torres?
Yeah, actually, I've actually got him at 38-3, Jason.
Oh, okay.
He's got 9 wins by knockout, 23 by submission, and 6 decisions. He's lost, out of his 3 losses, he's had 1 of each. 1 by knockout, 1 by submission, 1 by decision. So, like we talked about, the UFC loves the undefeated fighters. With that many fights, he's about as close as you can be to undefeated.
Yeah,
someone's going to catch you off guard. But just by those stats, it should be an interesting debut for him.
Yeah, I'm really interested in seeing him. He's an amazing fighter. He had, I believe it was a 3-fight losing streak in WEC, which was just kind of, everyone was shocked by that. Looked like, though, he's kind of rebounded since then, got back on his game. I think he's had maybe 2 wins, but I know he's definitely at least had 1 win since that losing streak.
And I think dropped down a weight class, too.
Yeah, and I think he is one of those people that he really takes this MMA thing professionally. Like, this is his career, you know, and really You know, like Rob pointed out with the stats, he can do it all. He can submit you. He can knock you out. He can go five rounds and still pull out the victory, you know? So, I see nothing but big things for him. So I'm excited and I'm going to take him in this fight.
Yeah. I think Miguel Torres is a really, really talented fighter. He ran up against a buzzsaw, you know, just happened to be in the same division at the same time as Jose Aldo. And I think that just spelled bad news. That's going to spell bad news for a lot of people, but it did for him. He moved down the weight class. I think he's going to just run through the bantamweight division there. I think he's making a run at Dominic Cruz, and I think that's where he's headed.
What about him versus Uriah Faber, though? Do you see that coming up? Because I could definitely see it.
I think it will come up, and I think it'll be a good fight, but I think I've got to pick Torres in that
fight.
I think
I would, too. But I would be excited to see it.
Yeah, that's
one of the ones in that division
definitely.
I would really like to see.
Sometimes we see in other sports, too, not just in UFC, but players sometimes reboot their career. Mm-hmm. You know, they hit that wall. Just kind of going back to football, during the football season, we see a lot of players, they get to a certain age, like I'm thinking like wide receivers, for example, where they hit a wall. They have to make a major change, whether it be changing to the slot, you know, from the outside, or
from the long threat guy to the possession.
Exactly.
Guy.
And then they can make that big change and really kind of reboot their career. So this may be that turning point for Torres.
And I think there is a certain extent, too. And I think Silva would be a great example of that. Anderson Silva is, after a while of just defending your title and just beating so many people, you kind of get to a point where as much as you try to be driven, you kind of can't help but to really not. You don't train like you did, you know, when you were first starting, you know, because you were so hungry. You had the belt for so long, and you're just whooping people, and you're trying to go in being focused, but I think it's just hard, you know, and I think those losses really had refocused him to come back and really be, you know, I want my title back and keep learning, you know, because that's what you have to do in MMA to keep winning. You have to keep learning.
Definitely.
You know?
And I think you can see that loss of focus when you look at guys like GSP, who, you know, lost his belt to Matt Serra.
Yeah.
And it's just like Matt Serra has no business being in the cage with GSP.
Right.
But I mean, you know, you lose a little focus. You're a little scared maybe of losing your belt and, you know, something happens. So, I mean, I think it is easy to lose focus there, and I think that probably did happen to him, but I think he's going to bounce back in a big way real quick.
And Brock Lesnar might be the next person you see this happen to.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, definitely. So going around the table real quick, who do you have?
I'm going to go with Torres.
Me too, Torres.
Yeah, I'm just excited to see him. You know, I've got to go Torres.
It'll be interesting to see the little guys fighting.
I'm excited to see this entire card, really.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, the fight for the troops I wasn't excited for, which ended up actually being a good card.
But this one,
I'm really excited.
I'm really excited to see this one too.
That's going to do it for us here on the TKO. I'm Brad.
I'm Honest Rob with Stats.
And I'm Jason. Everybody, never leave it in the hands of the judges.